And I seen something that blessed my heart. But Jack, I'm talking about bless my heart. And I don't think the way I'm going to preach it to you tonight is the way that we'll ultimately give to you. And yet this may be the grandest way to do so. And so for a minute, if the Lord will help us, I want to just magnify the Lord Jesus Christ out of Psalm 102. You say, preacher, is Jesus Christ in Psalm 102? Can I tell you and remind you tonight, Jesus is in every line. Jesus is in every sentence, in every statement of every chapter, of every verse. The Lord Jesus Christ is behind the scenes. Amen. To be seen and to be praised and to be magnified. And I believe tonight Psalm 102 and the way the Lord just kind of unfolded this. I ain't read this in no book. I didn't get this from Dr. Bottle Stopper. Amen. I got this from the Lord. And when I seen it, it just sure blessed my heart and reminded me all over again what all Jesus did for us. And so, amen. I know what y'all going to say. Quit looking at that watch, but I just need to see something real quick. All right? Psalm 102, stand with me. I'm going to read it all, and then I'm going to give you something. All right? Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an earth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day. They that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Because, listen to verse number 10, because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. I love verse number 12, but thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever. Thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Notice that the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. I can't wait to say something about that. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord, he weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. I love verse 27, but thou art the same. Amen. Thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. I wish I could preach verse 28, like God has been, Brother Maurice, just drilling that into my heart. Amen. I won't get there tonight, I don't think, but I want to preach to you for just a minute, just magnifying the Lord. Now, this ain't going to make any sense because you didn't see this like you're going to see it in about 5 minutes. I want to preach tonight on echoes from the garden. Echoes from the garden. Heavenly Father, help us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The psalm before us here, Psalm 102, is one, I think, as we read it tonight, is one of a man in great suffering and affliction. We see a man that is speaking of things going on, not only on the outside and in his flesh, but a man that has great affliction and oppression going on within the depths of his soul. This man is overwhelmed. This man, according to the title and the heading of this psalm, is calling on God in prayer. In fact, in verse number 1, he said, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee." He speaks of the fact there is an impending trouble that he senses is coming his way. That as bad as things are, Brother Jesse, that there is more trouble that is to come, and he senses that he's going to be calling upon God in greater agony, in greater ways, in greater earnestness by what is getting ready to come his way. "Hide not thy face from me," he said in verse 2, "in the day when I am in trouble." And so it's impending. There's something impending. There's something in view. There's something he sees that is getting ready to come his way. He already senses the pains. He already senses the affliction. He already senses the reproach and the things that are taking place inside of him and that are getting ready to be poured out upon him. And so we find the psalmist here, it's unclear. I believe probably it's a psalm of David. Personally, Psalm 101 is a psalm of David. Psalm 103 is going to be a psalm of David. And I believe likely this is a psalm of David. And yet when one begins to consider this psalm, it doesn't take you long when you begin to study it and you begin to look at it in light of Scripture as a whole, that we see that this psalm is deeply prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, where would you see Christ in Psalm 102? How would you make the connection?" You'll find when you begin to study this psalm that Psalm 102, particularly verse number 25, 26, and 27, that they are declared and they are quoted in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter number 1, verses 10, 11, and 12, those three verses are quoted in those three verses of Hebrews 1. When you begin to read and study Hebrews chapter number 1, Brother Gerald, what you'll find is that is an exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners has spake to humankind, amen, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. In Hebrews chapter number 1, as is all 13 chapters of the book of Hebrews, is a magnifying of the Son of God. And Hebrews chapter number 1 and in verse number 12, amen, he references there, amen, what the Father has to say about His Son. And so Psalm 102 is not just about the human pen of the psalmist David. Amen, David is writing about a greater than David. He's writing about a greater one that is going to experience greater fulfillment of affliction and greater reproaches and greater trouble than even that David could even imagine and be acquainted with in his life. And so when David says, "Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble," hey man, that fulfillment is going to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey man, the same one that is going to be exalted and seen to be preeminent. And Hebrews chapter number 1 is the same one. Amen. That is going to go through pains and pangs and problems and be reproached beyond any of our imagination. Amen. And so let me develop this thought of echoes from the garden. Amen. Out of Psalm 102, a prayer of the psalmist. Amen. In great pain, in great trouble. Look with me in the heading of this psalm. Boy, I tell you, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 102. And if you got a, how many of y'all have a Bible that has them headings in it? And you can see that. Look with me, if you would, there, where the Bible said in the heading of this psalm, it is titled, A Prayer of the Afflicted When He Is Overwhelmed and Poureth Out His Complaint Before the Lord. Three things I want to point out, and it'll give us our thought, and I'll share just a few thoughts throughout Psalm 102. Number one, consider that this is a prayer of the afflicted. A prayer of the afflicted. The word afflicted simply means this. Amen. To be poor and needy. Amen. It speaks of something that is lacking. You see that throughout Psalm 102. Amen. That this psalmist, he's lacking an appetite. He's lacking strength. He's lacking a sanity of mind. He is lacking some things that, had been there. And there is a poorness and a neediness that is in his life. This word afflicted also means to be depressed. So as a man lacking a vitality, lacking a strength, a man lacking a liveliness, and something is being taken. Amen, and has caused this psalmist to be poor and needy. Hang on to that for just a moment. It is a prayer of the afflicted. Notice the second statement made in this title. When he is overwhelmed. Amen, so there is the prayer of the afflicted. Amen, and not just afflicted to a small measure. That affliction mounts up and the trouble begins to be poured on and into the psalmist. And the heading said that you can pray this when you are overwhelmed. That word overwhelmed means this. It means to languish in the darkness. Amen. To languish in the darkness. To labor in the night. Amen. And so in this psalm we find, amen, as even the psalmist said in verse 11, my days are like a shadow that declineth. And so there is, my friend, the implication in this psalm that, amen, the sun has set. Amen, the psalmist has been left in the night, has been left in great darkness. And in this darkness, there is a languishing, there is a weeping, there is a crying there. Amen, is a depth of hurt and a depth of pain that goes beyond anything, amen, that a man can maybe even imagine. It would be like, amen, saying this is the worst day or worst night of my life. I've never hurt like I'm hurting now. I've never experienced the pain that I'm going through in this moment. Amen, it is unfamiliar territory. Amen, it is overwhelmed. Being in a place where you're out of your element. Amen, that's the reference in verse 6 and in verse 7. Particularly verse 6, I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. Amen, a pelican is a sea creature. You don't see them in the dry, arid, sandy soils of a wilderness. Amen. The psalmist is saying, I'm out of my element. I feel like I'm somewhere I don't belong. I feel like I'm somewhere where I can't survive. Amen. Like an owl of the desert. And so there's an overwhelming that is taking place. Amen. I don't know how to handle the darkness and the night and all the pain. Amen, that I'm going through. And so the statement is made, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed. Amen. Notice with me the last line of the title that is given in the heading of Psalm 102. And poureth out his complaint before the Lord. And when I got to this statement here, Brother Riley, amen, this is where the Lord began to really, amen, magnify the Lord Jesus. Amen. Notice with me the words poureth out. Poureth out his complaint. Brother Larry, I looked up that phrase poureth out. Amen. And about had a shouting spell. Amen. You said, preacher, give it to us. Here's what it means. Amen. It means to spill forth blood. It means to spill forth blood or to expend life and soul. Amen. To spill forth blood and to expend forth, amen, to expend life and soul. Amen. And boy, the psalmist is saying, amen, that I'm in such a place of agony and such a place of affliction and such a place of being overwhelmed. Amen. It is though I am spilling my blood. I am putting forth my blood. And as I give my complaint, it has reached the core of my life and it has touched the very depths of my soul. So that what is coming out of me is as though I am spilling forth my blood. Amen. And so, amen, notice that. Amen. Well, let me ask you a question. Is there anywhere in the life of the Lord Jesus where he was in prayer and in prayer was afflicted and in prayer he was overwhelmed and in prayer he was spilling forth blood? Is there anywhere that you've read in your Bible? Have you heard any messages, amen, on a time in Christ's life, amen, when he went and he knelt down and prayed to his Father, amen, afflicted, overwhelmed, and pouring out and spilling forth, amen, his blood. Amen. Look with me, if you will, hold your place in Psalm 102. Amen. We understand, hold your place in Psalm 102. Turn with me to Luke 22. And Luke 22 and in verse number 40, the Bible said, speaking of Christ now, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, Peter, James, and John, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down. And what did he do? The Bible said, and prayed. Amen. Listen now, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. And notice what the Bible said, strengthening him. Amen. You know what that means? That means that while the Lord was praying there in Gethsemane, and he had become poor and needy, and under the affliction and the impending, amen, trouble that was coming his direction, amen, that he was made so poor and needy, and he, my friend, had been depressed by way of lacking of vitality, and my friend, the Father had to send the angels, amen, to give him strength to bear up under the load. Amen, to be able, my friend, to carry the burden that was upon him. Amen, the Bible said, and being in agony. Amen, you know what that means? He got overwhelmed. Amen, he got overwhelmed. He's praying, he's under affliction, and he's being overwhelmed. Amen, all the gates of hell, no doubt, amen, are whispering in his ear. Amen, all those doubts, and all of the conniving things, that the devil and all his goons, no doubt, himself, amen, or whispering into his heart, amen, seeing the things that were to come, knowing the cup that he was going to drink. Amen, friend, he being in an agony, amen, what did he do? He prayed more earnestly. Amen, he did not, my friend, turn away from the Father, and he kept praying to the Father. Amen, now notice what the Bible said. Amen, the Bible said, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Amen. You know what he stood? He is afflicted. He is overwhelmed. Amen. But he is spilling forth his blood. He is, mad friend, pouring it out. Amen. He sees the suffering that is to come. He sees the agony, and in the darkness of Gethsemane, he is languishing in the night. Amen. Afflicted in the night. Amen. Spilling forth his blood in the darkness, amen, because of the impending suffering that is coming his way by the cross. And so I submit to you today, amen, that Psalm 102 could only be prayed by Christ. And we're given a blip of what he prayed. Amen. We understand that when Christ went into the garden to pray, amen, he took Peter and James and John. He went a little further and he prayed. And after a season of prayer, he come back to them, found them sleeping, woke them up, and said, boys, you need to pray. And then he went back and he himself prayed some more. Amen. He came back, found them sleeping. He wakes them up. Amen. Tells them to pray. And goes back. And three times, amen, he's in prayer with his heavenly Father. Amen. One of the things that Jesus said in his rebuke was what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? So there was more prayed than what is recorded in Luke and in the gospel account. We're given that there was more prayers going up. There were more, amen, pouring out, said, and complaints and requests, said, and communion with the Heavenly Father. And I would submit to you tonight, amen, it's very, very likely, as I give consideration of this, at one of those prayers the Lord prayed, could it be a verbatim Psalm 102? When you read Psalm 102, thinking about our Lord in the garden, our Lord was afflicted, our Lord was overwhelmed, our Lord was spilling forth his blood, amen, pouring forth his request, amen, pouring it out, amen, to the Heavenly Father, amen, that when you begin to read Psalm 102, amen, and listen as though there's an echo coming, amen, out of the Garden of Gethsemane, oh, what joy fills my soul, amen, to know that, amen, this psalm is dealing with the suffering, and not just his suffering, but, amen, is teaching us the effects and the results of that suffering that was to come. That's why he kept on praying to his Heavenly Father. That's why, my friend, his prayer was so important. Amen. It was there in prayer, the echoes from the garden. Amen. Were the preparations of the mind and the heart and the will of the Son of God. Amen. That he would go to the cross. He would face his trouble. He would go there and languish in the darkness. Amen. He would further spill forth his blood as an atonement for our sin. Amen. And thank God for the echo we have in Psalm 102. From the garden. Amen. Now, what I want to do for just a minute tonight, amen, is just simply with that in mind, Psalm 102 being very well have been part of Christ's prayer there in Gethsemane. Notice some of the echoes that come out, amen, of this prayer. Amen. May I say, the psalmist, as he penned this, and Christ as he fulfilled it, that the first 11 verses deal with Amen, the languish and the lamentation of what was to come. Amen, but when you come to verse number 12, but thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever in thy remembrance unto all generations. Amen, there was more than just complaining, that it was more. Amen, yes, he's afflicted. Yes, he's overwhelmed. Yes, he's pouring out, amen, his complaint before the Lord, but amen, he also knew his suffering was going to bring about, amen, some things that only his suffering could bring about. Amen, and this would maybe be a better Sunday morning message, amen, than a Wednesday night message. But then again, you can't ever go wrong preaching about Christ in his suffering. So let me say, number one, the first echo, amen, from the garden as we consider the prayer of Psalm 102. Is that through his suffering, sin would be punished.
Amen. Yes, sir.
His suffering involved the fact that through suffering, sin would be punished. Amen. When I read of the agony that is found in Psalm 102, and without going through all the different ways that this psalm describes, amen, loneliness and loss of appetite, the reproach of enemies, and the forsaking of friends, and all that was consuming the Lord in that hour of suffering. Amen, I would point out to you this evening, amen, verse number 9 and verse number 10. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. Amen. Can I remind you tonight, the one who is the fulfillment of this psalm? Amen. And the one who can truly pray this psalm in all its depths and in all its glory was none other than the Son of God. Amen. The one, my friend, who came and dwelt among us. Amen. The one who is full of the glory of all that God is. Amen. Full of grace and full of truth. Amen. The one in whom is no guile, no sin, no blemish. Amen. The one that had never committed the first sin. A one who never, my friend, looked upon a woman with a lustful eye. A one, my friend, who always spake and told the truth and never lied. Amen. The one, my friend, that never entertained, amen, a sinful thought or a sinful deed. A one whose hands were innocent and pure. And the one who had feet that only walked a path of righteousness. Amen. Is now praying and said, amen, thou hast lift me up and cast me down. Amen. May I say the Father lifted him up. Amen. When at his baptism, he declared, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And again at the Mount of Transfiguration, amen, when the voice of the Father came out of heaven again, this is my well beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. And I'm telling you, the Father lifted him up. Amen. He sent a man of God before him by the name of John the Baptist. Amen. Who on the Father's mission, amen, lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, John had that in such mind that, amen, John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. Amen. He lifted him up as the Lamb of God. Amen. As the bridegroom, as the one, amen, who had, my friend, been the perfect, was come, amen, in perfection to be the sacrifice for our sin. Amen. And the same Father then lifted him up, amen, on Golgotha's hill, and through suffering is the one that cast him down.
Amen.
Amen. And in Psalm 102, verse number 9, or verse number 10, rather, amen, he said, all of this is being poured out upon me because of thine indignation and thy wrath. The sinless Son of God never done one thing to make his Father angry.
He's my friend. Oh, he testified of himself. I do always those things that please the Father. Why then is he praying? Because, amen, of thine indignation and thy wrath. Amen, it's because upon the Son of God, my sin was placed and your sin was placed. Amen, friend, in Christ Jesus, God the Father, amen, poured his indignation and his wrath out upon our sin. Amen, for every dirty thought we would ever have. Amen, for every desire of the flesh that would be manifest in you and that. Amen, for every place we went we should have never gone. And every deed we ever done that was against God's law. Amen. All of that was placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his suffering he bore it all. Amen. And by his suffering, amen, our sin was being punished. Amen, amen. I'm glad that he took it on himself. Amen, I'm glad the God-man said, I'll go. Amen, I'll go. I'll be sinless and I'll be perfect. I'll honor the Heavenly Father. And then in the end, amen, I'll take Ledbetter's sin on myself. And I'll let my Father be angry about his sin and punish it through my suffering. Amen. Through his suffering, sin would be punished. Amen. Let me say a word number two. And through his suffering, amen, the echo from the garden. Can you hear the Son of God praying tonight? Amen. The echo that comes from the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. In this prayer is that salvation would be purchased. Amen. Somebody said, well, you know, the Old Testament's the Old Testament and all we got's the New Testament that deals with salvation. Amen. You'll have a hard time convincing the psalmist that wrote, amen, wrote this psalm about. Amen. There's some statements he makes, Brother Riley, that are absolutely mind-blowing. Amen. Amen. You say, well, what are they? Look, I ain't got time to deal with all this. The Bible said, amen, this shall be written for the generation to come. You know what the psalmist said? What I'm writing here, amen, it's for us, but really it's for those that are coming down the way. Amen. And notice what he said, and the people which shall be created. And the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. As a result of my suffering, as a result of my affliction, as a result of what I'm doing in all of that, amen, he said all of this should be recorded here. And then there'll be an Apostle Paul that'll come on the scene later and he'll preach it again to another generation that is to come. Amen. And through that message, through this message of my suffering, of my affliction, of my being overwhelmed, of my pouring out, amen, he said, here's what's going to happen. Amen. The Father's going to create a people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There was a first creation.
Yes, sir.
There is what the Word of God references as the old creation. And that's when he made Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Because of man's disobedience, rebellion, and sin, amen, the curse brought upon mankind and death. And in that day, man died unto God. And in that day, man began to die physically. Amen. But you know what God did? He sent his Son into this earth. Amen. And my friend, to right what Adam had wronged. Amen. To bring salvation. Amen. And to purchase that. Amen. That those that were under the old creation, amen, could have a new creation. Amen. And it is not physical, but it is spiritual. Amen. And it is what Christ has, amen, purchased by way of his suffering. There is salvation that has been purchased. Amen. I love this psalm. In my mind, for amen, the last week or so, I've been trying to meditate and think upon this. Amen. Just trying to listen and hear as though it were the very voice of my Savior praying this from the garden. Can you hear Him? Verse 19, can you hear Him? For He hath looked down from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. You know what the Old Testament said? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Amen. And so He's taking it all in. And Genesis chapter number 6, the Bible said, and when God looked down, He saw that, amen, all that man could do was wickedness. And my friend, He looked beyond the outward and all the outside sins, and God seen His heart and said He had the imagination of His heart. It's only evil continually. That's what God seen when He looked down from His throne. Amen. But in the midst of all sin, in the midst of all the wrong, and in the midst of all the law breaking, amen, in this psalm, Jesus prays. And He said, oh, the Father, amen, He beheld more than just the sin. He heard a prisoner groaning in his sin. He heard somebody weeping and crying and longing for something more than this world and give them. Amen. He looked down and He heard the groaning of the prisoner. And He looked down and what did He say? Amen. He seen those who needed to be loosed and had been appointed to death. In other words, He looked beyond our fault and saw our need. Hallelujah. Amen. He looked and when all that, all the wrong and all the sin that, and He could see and did see, He looked beyond all that fault and thank God He saw our need.
Amen.
He heard young people who would be weeping and crying going, surely there's more to life than all of this.
Amen.
He seen the mamas and the daddies who had tears rolling down their cheek in the night when nobody else was around, going, I don't know if I can take any more of this. Amen. He's saying, my friend, the dope addict. Amen. He's saying, my friend, the drunkard said, and He's seen the abused, and He's seen those that have been taken advantage of it. Amen. He's seen the down and the out, and those that simply were in the prison of sin that had longed for something more. And Jesus echoes in the prayer from the garden, I have come to suffer, and salvation might be purchased for them, and they may be liberated from what sin has shackled them to. Ain't you glad He came, my friend, to create us anew? He came, my friend, to bring us out. Amen. I'm glad He heard my groaning one day. I'm glad He came to where that groaning was and loosed me from my bands. Amen. Oh, I'm glad He did that. And He might declare His name, verse 21, in Zion and His praise in Jerusalem. And here's what He said. He done all that so that when He comes into His kingdom, all the redeemed of God can enter in there. The curse will be gone. Sin will be gone. Trouble will be gone. Pain will be gone. Night will be banished. Amen. All that defileth will be, my friend, cleansed away. And thank God, I'm glad that's the salvation He purchased for me. Amen. Not a salvation for time alone, but my friend, for time and for eternity. Amen. We are saying that is what Christ has purchased by way of His suffering. Sin would be punished. Salvation would be purchased. May I say, last of all, that through His suffering, He accomplished, amen, He accomplished the fact that the Son would be promoted. It's amazing when you study this psalm in light of Hebrews chapter number 1. It plainly identifies the fact that it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible said that Paul wrote in Philippians, is it chapter number 2, about Christ and His condescension. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. that in light of all that the suffering of the cross demanded, that the Father gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
You see, my friend, through his suffering, amen, through his suffering, and though he was in agony, and though he was in affliction, and though he was overwhelmed, and though he was pouring out his blood, and though it, amen, came with all sorts of things, physical and spiritual, we may never be able to understand exactly what he was going through. We do know that in the end result of all of it, amen, he has been exalted. He has been made Lord. He has, amen, been made the preeminent one. He is the promoted Son of God. Now the Father said, if you ever going to get to glory, you only can come through him. Bow your knee here, bow your knee there. You will bow your knee one day. Amen. Confess him today, my friend, or you'll confess it. Amen. When it's too late. Amen. Because through his suffering and through the cross, he's the one the Father's promoted.
Amen.
Ain't about our heritage. It ain't about, amen, angels. That's Hebrews 1. Amen. He said, what angel did he ever say? You can sit on my right hand. What angel's been given the promise all the enemies of God are going to be made his footstool? They ain't a one angel, Michael and Gabriel. Amen. They ain't a one of them that's been promoted to that power. Amen. But Christ has been given this promotion. And it all hinges on the fact, amen, that thank God he was willing to suffer the agonies of the cross. Amen. Can you hear Jesus praying this? He knows what is to come. He knows he's going to die. Y'all understand that, right? He knows he's going to die. He reaches back the Old Testament, takes Psalm 102. Now God said, this is written about my Son. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. That's a messianic verse of the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. In other words, the heaven and the earth will be done away and pass away. Though Christ would lay down his life and his suffering and his agony, he would get up, he would remain, as the way Hebrews 1, amen, carries over into, amen, the New Testament, thou shalt remain. And he did remain by means of the resurrection. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. Say, preacher, that sounds like what Paul said in Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. How do we know he ain't going to change? Because of the sufferings that he went through, and the sufferings and what his suffering accomplished and what it produced, the promotion of himself. The Father promoted his Son because of his willingness to be obedient to the suffering. Now today he is both Christ and he is Lord. Amen. And thy years shall have no end. He's promoted tonight. And I thank the Lord for it. Echoes from the garden. I hope that made sense. And, amen. Just bragging on the Lord tonight and what he done for us.